Anastasia Baranova was born in Moscow. She started her acting career in the U.S. and California. She's known for playing Addison Addie Carver on Z Nation, which ran on the Sci-Fi Channel. This is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. Here's my conversation from a few years back with Anastasia Baranova.
Congratulations on season three so far. It's been a blast.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You know, I just fell in love with Addie right away. I mean, it's like any girl that has your back with a cool baseball bat like that, I would go to war with her in the zombie apocalypse any day of the week. You know, I would.
Good to hear.
I mean, she's just great. It's just, it's a combination of the writing and your personality coming through there and really making her pretty memorable. So it's fun to watch her every week.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, she's been a really fun person to kind of get to be for, you know, for the past couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Season three, a lot's going on.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely.
I mean, it's, and the funny thing is the writers are not, Craig Engler, who's one of the co-creators or the creator, he said a while ago that they're not married to any of you guys. So essentially as actors, mm-hmm. I guess you're always looking over your back a little bit to worry about the yep. script that you get killed off in.
You never know. You really never know. And that's, you know, sort of a funny thing in general as an actor, like work stability or job security. Like that's something that you kind of don't get too attached to. And like, mm-hmm. they're like, well, listen, sometimes you work and sometimes you don't. And so, you know, that's sort of the way that it goes. But there's kind of the same, like, hey, I got on a show, you know, cool. Nope, it's a zombie show. So really, you have no idea. It's that much more unstable and insecure than you thought.
There's more Sci-Fi Talk, so stay tuned.
You know, what I always loved about Z Nation is, the other guys, they don't comment on the kills, but you guys kind of do, like, kind of say what the audience would say when they say, you know, when they find a zombie underneath a car wheel or something, you know, along those lines, mm-hmm. like in season one. And I love that about mm-hmm. the show. It kind of brings the audience along with you a little more, I think.
That's interesting. I'm glad that you like that. Yeah, I think, you know, our thing from the beginning has sort of been, you know, what The Walking Dead does. And I'm actually a really big fan of that show.
Yeah.
What they do so well. So there wasn't, the idea was never to try to do another one or
yeah.
do like a knockoff of it. The idea was, hey, this is being done and this is being done well. What else can we do that's in this world that doesn't, like, you know, everyone pretty naturally when we came out, we're like, oh, it's just another Walking Dead. And then you watch 37 seconds of our show and go, oh, just kidding. Okay, they actually have nothing to do. You know, it's like a completely different vibe. It's a completely different look. Like, they really have nothing to do with one another. But I think they go together really well. And part of what we can do is not take ourselves seriously.
Yeah.
Because they have to, right? Because mm-hmm. really, the zombies are, it doesn't really matter. The zombies are just like the setting in that show. It's really about like the relationships and the and all that. So they have to take what they're doing seriously, which gives us the space to have rolling cheese wheels, you know what I mean? And everything else that we do and like say apocalypse 489 times because it's funny. Because mm-hmm. we're in the apocalypse and it's not real. And why are my eyebrows so great? Because zombies aren't real.
Yeah.
Shut up. You know?
Exactly.
That's pretty much us.
I think what's one of the most fascinating things really has been the whole Murphy storyline itself. And his literal yep. transformation has been really cool mm-hmm. to watch.
I mean, mm-hmm.
And you know, he's perfect for the part, too. I mean, he really he just brings it, you know. It's like, actually, the whole cast is pretty strong. You know, I really like...
I think we do have a really strong cast. And I think it's an interesting combination of us walking into parts that were already pretty well designed for us. I mean, like, I don't know, it's interesting, you know, anything can go, any character can go in any direction. But Murphy really could have been, he could have been anyone. He could have been any type of guy, but I think what Keith does with it, and I think why as much as people, you know, Murphy's like the guy you love to hate or you hate to love, like, the whole thing with him is he's always right. Like, for the first two seasons, you know, whenever he'd be like, nope, let's not do the thing that the rest of us trying to maintain some sort of moral something or other, be like, no, let's go back and do it. And every time he was like, no, guys, let's not. This is going to end badly. It ended badly. It was right. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah. You can't, there's a genuineness and sort of an authenticness to what Keith does that makes Murphy maybe not like the nice guy, but he's certainly not wrong. And he's also not lying. Like, you know what I mean? He is really, he's authentic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I read a recent interview where you said for Addie, towards the end of the season, she's going to be a combination of Black Widow and Die Hard. Whoa, that's going to be awesome.
Isn't that cool? Honestly, and it was so funny because when they came to me, it was while we were filming, and hopefully people will agree with me. It's a really, like, literal, practical description because I'm in all black. My hair is red, and then, I mean, I think we'll start releasing images pretty soon. I mean, I end up with, like, two black eyes and a broken nose, like, literally hanging on by a thread because she and the man, you know, he's kind of like her arch nemesis, and they just go back and forth, just keeping each other alive just within an inch of life. So it's pretty, you know, it's pretty cool. Come at me, visualist. I'm just saying.
Now, a few years ago, I spoke to Michael Welch, you know, who, of course, you guys were involved, and he was really cool about saying, I said, well, how do you strike up a relationship? And the cool thing was that he said that you both actually lived together for a while, and you would kind of work on the relationship, you know, that way and, like, read lines with each other. So you really, that's a great way to really establish a relationship, you know, on screen. It's really cool.
It really worked out. I mean, you know, I don't know if a lot of people necessarily would have, like, the luxury of that or if they would really see that as a luxury, but that's absolutely what it was because, you know, all of our, for the most part, all of our stuff was together. So we'd go to work together, you know, we'd work all day, we'd come back, we'd sort of break down what happened into, you know, because their thing was that they'd been together for, like, 3 years when the show had started. So, you know, there was already a lot of context and there was a lot of, you know, just sort of patterns that people have or, you know, just sort of you figure out your rhythms and stuff. And, you know, for them, basically going to the apocalypse together, it's a real trust exercise of like, hey, you have my back. Oh, hey, I have your back. Oh, I can really trust this person now. So getting to live together and really, you know, become friends and get that kind of natural chemistry was so great. I honestly, people tell me all the time that they cried, like actually cried when he died, which is interesting because if you think about, again, somebody dies on The Walking Dead, okay, that makes sense, right? It's a drama. We've been watching these characters for a long time. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think that, you know, with something like Z-Nation, you'd be that interested or that committed. But I think that's the thing that, like, underneath all the silly, crazy stuff in terms of what we're doing as actors and how we're playing these people, we're always playing the reality, you know, or the most realistic thing that we can find in this crazy context. And I think he really brought it. And like, you really believe, I think Mac and Addie were kind of one of the great love stories that we really got. Like, when was the last time you saw a man love a woman the way that he loved her? Like, he was. And not just who Michael Welch is. He's just such an amazing human being that, you know, like, he didn't have to, like, fake a lot of it. But yeah, I think it was really, really tangible. That's what people really affected.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, when you guys kill somebody off, it matters. I mean, when Tom Edward Scott's Garnett died, I was like, whoa, I couldn't believe it.
Whoa, you know?
It was like one of those moments where I go, wow, they lost their leader here. So
Well, we started with that.
Yeah.
we started, you know, we pitched you on, hey, Harold Pernow is going to lead you through the apocalypse. What? In the first episode, he's dead already? Wow, what's going to happen now?
Yeah, you had the military guy, and, you know, it was like, okay, you got the alpha right there, and he has experience, and bang, you know, he's gone.
And now you're taken out by a zombie baby. Whoops.
I'll tell you, that zombie baby was really creepy.
That's just one of the weirdest things you ever seen.
Oh, man.
Honestly, I still to this day, I'm like, God, did we do that? We did. We did the weird zombie baby, but
yeah. Is that like in your, would you say that's in your top 10 of the weirdest zombies you've come across?
Oh, God, yeah. And we're a show that specializes in weird zombies.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just, I don't even know. Because it was like animatronic. I don't know what we did with that. It was experimental. You know, it was the first episode. We were just trying shit. So.
Yeah.
Don't hold it against.
No. Hey, it's great that you try things. I'd rather have a show that tries things rather than just kind of, sticks to the norm. Because you could easily fit into that George Romero Walking Dead kind of mold and do that. But, you guys have kind of blazed your own ground a little bit, and that's what I admire about the show, too.
Oh, that's great.
And there's also a Z Nation comic. Hey, not bad.
You know, I've read about that. Mm-hmm. I don't... do you have updates on what's happening or what that's
I know it's called
nothing. I know nothing.
I know it's called Black Summer, but I don't
that's
know
right,
anything.
They're doing the Black Summer bit.
Yeah, so I don't know more about that. But
I got nothing.
Hopefully we'll see it. But hey, there's always a TV show, and the strangest thing. It's not strange. It's becoming everyday life. Is that we all watch things on our phones and. You know, we mm-hmm. on demand and everything. You can, like, you miss a few episodes, you can binge like three in a row if you want to.
Really? Yep.
I mean, that's as actors, that's got to be a little, that means more eyeballs are watching you probably than ever before, really. I think, anyway.
You know, that's an interesting thing. And, you know, because Netflix doesn't, like, they don't release any of their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, it's like, well, we have no idea, but. We've been doing conventions for the past couple of years, and I always ask, because we don't really do a lot of promotion, we don't do a lot of that stuff, PR and stuff, so I'm always like, hey, how did you find out about this thing? And I would say it's like a 70-30 split of 30% mm-hmm. of people, you know, they just love sci-fi, so it's like, oh, just whatever's on sci-fi, or, yo, I just really like zombies. So, you know, that's just it. So I was just watching that. Most people, their grandma told them about it, and they caught up on Netflix.
That's funny.
You know, that's what it is. And the answer is always, you know, if it's Netflix, it's between, so let's see, we, at this point, we have two seasons up on there, 13, 15, 28. So, you know, you need 28 hours to watch what's on Netflix. So
yeah.
It takes people 2 days to a week tops.
Yeah.
Like everyone's like, oh. If you have a job, it took me a week. If it was a weekend, I finished it. I binged it in a weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think, you know, in a way it is. And, you know, again, we don't really know what those Netflix numbers are, but based on like people and what I kind of, you know, gauge from them when I'm at these things. Yeah. A lot of people are watching this stuff and whenever they want too. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it used to be like, oh, hey, if you were watching TV that day or, you know, if you recorded it on VHS. I'm from Russia. We did that.
Yeah. I did that too.
Right? Like, that's how you would watch things. Now it's like, it's 2:00 in the morning. You can't sleep. Let me put on some Z Nation.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Sometimes we watch it in the morning, believe it or not.
Can you, I just need a quick pick me up. Let's just start the day with something ridiculous. Hey, how's that Z Nation doing?
Yeah, let's watch a zombie killer too.
Let's just watch some of this nonsense.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
There's more sci-fi talk, so stay tuned.
Hey, I got to talk about this movie that you're going to be coming in 2017. Welcome to Willits. Talk about that. That sounds interesting. It's a thriller type.
It is. I've been calling it like an alien slasher.
Oh, nice.
Which is really fun. And I definitely think that like, incidentally, this sort of worked out, cause a really great friend of mine wrote it and his brother directed it. And, you know, they were like, hey, you know, you can do the thing. And I would have been an extra in it. It's my friend. So of course, yeah, no big deal. But I read it and they were like, hey, you know, can you play this part, which is, I played Courtney, and she's kind of like the straight man in the thing, and
okay.
In a way, she's the, she is the, like, window through which the audience sees the movie. So I, in a way, actually don't really do a lot. I'm just out here kind of watching this story unfold. And it's about, girl goes back to a small town, and her aunt and uncle are kind of in this weird stuff where her uncle thinks that he's, like, seeing aliens. But meantime, he's creating a new kind of, like, crystal meth, and he's talking about how, it's this crystal meth that's creating the pathway through which the aliens... And so my character is obviously like, what's happening? What's going on? This is crazy. How do I deal with this? But then the way the movie is done, the whole time you're kind of like, wait, is he crazy? Is it the meth? Or are there actually aliens? Because, in a sci-fi context, there might be aliens. There might be that kind of movie. The whole time you're kind of like, wait, is he? Is he crazy? Is he not? What's happening? And it's really, really great. Bill Sage, who I think people will, in like a certain horror world, will know. He's an American Psycho. He is incredible. Like, he incidentally is sort of kind of like Murphy in the sense that he's not doing great stuff. I mean, he ends up killing people. He ends up doing a bunch of stuff. But he's doing it to protect his family because he thinks the aliens. Do you know what I mean? So you kind of like, you're doing this crazy stuff, but I can't be upset with you because actually you're coming from a really good place doing it. And he is so committed that, again, you're kind of going, well, shit, these aliens do look very dangerous. We should protect our family. he's wonderful. And Sabina Gadecki plays his wife and my aunt. And she, it's so funny because if people look her up, she was recently in the Entourage movie. And she's gorgeous woman. And she does a complete transformation into this, like, kind of crackhead, kind of, country girl. And she is absolutely brilliant. She's so genuine. And they sort of have, like, a Sid and Nancy kind of thing going, where they're definitely not, like, good technically for what's going on, but they love each other. And she is just so in love with him. And so wherever he goes, she goes. He moves, she moves. So their relationship and their chemistry is just so endearing to watch as you're kind of watching this crazy story of, like, aliens and things happening unfold. And then, our dynamic is really interesting because it's like, can you imagine coming home and your uncle is talking about doing math and talking to aliens? you know what I mean? And you're kind of like, well, I don't want to tell him he's crazy because, he's a little volatile. But at the same time, like, you're concerned, you're trying to figure it out. So that was a really long explanation. It's an alien slasher. It's got terrific performances, some really cool effects. So it just premiered out in New York at the Horror Film Festival.
Oh, nice.
And getting to watch it on the big screen, I mean, it really, because it's kind of like, you're doing it, but then how does it all come together? Really came together, and the alien is scary as shit. So it's really, really cool. And the supporting cast is terrific. Gary Clayton is in it, who's doing Hairspray Live right now.
Oh, yeah.
You see him in, like, a totally different take. Chris Zilka, who's on, that HBO show, I can't remember, but he's fantastic. Everyone's great. We're working on it going, I feel like this is going to be one of these, like, Cruel Intentions type thing. You know what I mean? Like, little cult thing where in 20, 30 years, we also have careers and people are going, oh, look, they did this one more.
About life after Z Nation?
Like we were saying, I am always thinking about life after Z Nation. While I'm on Z Nation going, this might end. I like working. It's actually funny. We were at the end of September and we're into October now, and I actually came back and was doing a bunch of stuff. I was doing voiceover work. I was traveling, whatever. But I'm just one of those people who, like, needs to work, and I need to know what I'm doing and what's coming up. It's something to focus on. So honestly, whatever the Lord will bless me with, Moses, come through, give me something to work on. But I definitely would steer in a different direction than I have been. Like, I would maybe stay, if I got to choose, I'd maybe stay with the action element, but maybe do, like, superheroes, right? Like, I'd love to play a bad guy on, like, a superhero show.
Because
I've been, like, playing the good guy for a while, so it would be really, really cool to, like, go in and be a bad guy and have, like, the powers and whatever.
Yeah, you could rock that, definitely.
Right?
Cool.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
For my dream job is always a sitcom, you know, just like a long-running sitcom where I can just go make people laugh for a while. Yeah. I mean, honestly, anything is, you know, as long as you get to work, I think it's a good thing. But I definitely would want to diversify just so that people don't kind of go, oh, well, that's the only thing she does. Because that's sort of been my thing for a while. Like, I got a pretty good mix of, like, sitcoms to, like, dramatic stuff to, you know, like, funny kid show to something not super serious. So I think that kind of balance is good, not just for me as an actor and as a person, but just for, like, people watching it. So, you know, you kind of don't get bored. Right?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I also kind of, have two cultures in my life because I wasn't born here. I was born in Cuba and came over many years ago. And kind of an American Cuban is what I, you know, consider myself.
Sure.
And you were born in Russia and raised in California.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what's it like for you to kind of have both cultures, in your life?
It's really interesting. And, incidentally, like, it's so funny. Somebody else recently said something to that effect of like, hey, so it looks like you're kind of from one place and another place. Where do you fit in? And it's funny. I, in a way, don't fit in anywhere, so I fit in everywhere because I learned how to.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, I love Russia and I love Russian people and, you know, Russian culture and art and all that stuff. But in a lot of ways, I don't fit in when I'm in Russia, especially after, you know, having spent so much time in America and California of all places.
Yeah.
Like I'm super trippy and I just like love people and, you know, all sorts of stuff. I'm like, nice. And culturally, Russia and Russians are, you know, they're sort of, there's like, you gotta kind of work. You gotta work for that love. You gotta work for that affection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People aren't just like trusting off the bat. Now, once you're in, oh my God, you're in for life and we'll we'll take care of you and all that stuff. It's fiercely loyal and all that. But people don't just like walk around being like, hey, how are you? Oh my God, what's going on? So in a way, like, and that's really natural for me. So in a way, I don't really fit in. Certainly when I came to America, I was weird. They didn't know what to do with me, which is understandable. I mean, I didn't really know what was going on. And then coming to California, it's so funny. I actually went to Friendsgiving that one of my best friends from middle school made for a bunch of our other middle school girlfriends. And we're looking around going, well, you're Mexican and you're Spanish and you're black and you're Jewish and you're foreign. And my God, look at us. Would you look at us?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't want to make a political joke right now, but I won't.
Yeah, I hear you. I totally feel you there. I really do.
I know a lot of people would probably be uncomfortable in this room right now. Just look at all these different people sitting together enjoying mac and cheese. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
What a wild story. And they're women.
Yeah,
what?
Even better.
My God.
Even better. I have a name for that. It's called America.
You think?
Yes.
Wouldn't you think that's
what it is?
What America is?
I mean, I see Lady Liberty every once in a while around here, and you know, it stands for something to me. It really does.
Because
I'm an immigrant too. I wasn't born here, so you know, I came.
I'm not from here. It's so funny. I'm at home right now, and CNN is on, and Obama is hosting the Medal of Freedom ceremony.
Wow! Yeah.
I'm crying.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I cry. I cry every time I see him. I cry every time I hear him speak.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yep.
Don't leave. Daddy, don't.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's so gory. Yep.
Oh, God. It hurts my heart. But, you know, we persevere. And in
this
way, incidentally, The Nation, I think part of why the show is it really could have not been a success in a lot of different ways. People could have been like, man, this is stupid. Who cares? But I think, again, the reason why it became sort of what it did is because of the people who work on it behind the scenes and on camera. Like, everyone is really committed to this thing being good, to just be doing their best, giving it their all. We're not working with a bunch, but dag nabbit, we're going to make it great.
Yeah.
And if you look at our cast, I mean, we have a black woman, you know, leading the apocalypse, you know, the remaining free world.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love the diversity.
You know what I mean? And it's, and it really, you know, I think that's why, and again, the whole reason why the show is, their whole thing is, hey, whatever humans remain, they matter. Let's figure it out. Let's try to do this. Like, let's hang on to hope. Let's not throw in the towel, even though you would think that's the easier thing to do. Life is terrible. It's the apocalypse. You can't shower. There's no candy. You can't sleep. Like, why are we doing this? Oh, we're doing this because this actually matters. And look at how different we all are. And look at, like, this is what it's driven us to do. All sorts of crazy stuff because I'm going to take care of this old white guy. And I'm going to take care of this, you know, Asian lady. And whatever it is. Like, because they're my people now.
Yeah. That's great. It's great. Well, I tell you, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. You know, I have to admit, I always had like a little crush on Addie, and I'm happily married and all. But, you know, but I can kind of, you know, in the back of your mind, it's okay.
I think that is totally. She's at least, you know, that shows to me you have good morals. You got great taste. You know, if you were like, you know, I was really into. I'm trying to think of some horrible character on TV right now. I'd be like, well, that's not. But Addie, I think Addie's a great person to like. She's pretty cool.
Hey, if you're in a zombie apocalypse and you got zombies in front of you and she's behind you covering your back, you know she's going to do it.
You know you're going to be fine.
It's like,
it's going to work out.
She's pretty and she's going to get my back. I mean, that's the kind of woman you want in a zombie apocalypse.
Right? And I'll probably even fire off a joke at some point. Shoot.
Even better. Thanks so much, Anastasia. You take care. And have Absolutely. A nice Thanksgiving.
Anastasia Baranova is starring in a new series, Sin, now filming. She's done voice work for Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, and Marvel's What If. Z Nation made zombies fun again, a nice contrast to The Walking Dead. Yes, it was an answer by Sci-Fi to The Walking Dead, which the channel had turned down, by the way. It was a fun, nice legacy. Make your own playlist at Sci-Fi Talk Plus from over 1,000 commercial-free uncut episodes and even special programs. It's only part of what you can do. The best part, it's free. Click on the link in the show notes for free lifetime access. This special offer expires May 1st, so take advantage of it. This is Tony Tolato.